Let's go to the phone lines right now. Let's head to Kauffman Stadium to be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Have you ever gone to a bar and then you rid the bull?
No, no. No, that's for other people. That no.
Because we
Why would I?
So, because how
do you come out of that looking good?
We were just reading this tweet. Someone says that he got ghosted by a woman because he got too drunk and he rode the mechanical bull three times. And I'm thinking, that's actually a worthy reason to not reply to any of your text.
Yeah. Oh, without question, a guy three times. That means he's taking it seriously. And every time, no, this time I'm going to do better. Oh God, yeah. Please pass.
Vern, let me ask you this, and I actually can't think of a time that I asked you a non-Royals question first before I asked you all the other ones. Who are
I can. I mean, they were bad for a long time.
You know what? That's a very, very fair point. Vern, who are the players in baseball that would get you to buy a ticket to go to the park? Now, I only asked that question because I'm guessing Ella De La Cruz is one of those individuals that would get you out there. But you and I know well enough, I'm not expecting some noticeable attendance bump because the Cincinnati Reds are in town today. Who are those players that you think move the needle enough where on a Monday, Tuesday in Kansas City, you are noticing that people are coming to the ballpark to watch this person play?
Well, there's only two guys in the sport, Aaron Judge and, you know, the Yankees always bring out a crowd, but Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Mike Trout didn't bring the people out. You know, Albert Pujols didn't bring the people out because when he went to the Angels, it's not like this place was packed. So, yeah, it's Shohei, it's Aaron Judge as far as Major League Baseball in 2025. Me, I'm normally drawn to the ballpark by the pitching matchup. So, Tarek Skubal, who we'll likely see coming up on Saturday. Cole Reagans, tomorrow, Hunter Green, the hard-throwing righty for the Reds, former number one overall pick. You know, Zach Wheeler with the Phillies. The aces, that's what brings me to the ballpark. And, man, with the pitch clock, like we saw on the last homestand, you can have a game last an hour 47 when you couple a great pitching staff and an anemic offense, which that's the Royals in 2025.
Why do you think this is? Is this a baseball marketing problem where baseball hasn't built up enough stars? Because you and I, if I asked you this same question about basketball, you could name 10 people that would get you to want to go buy a ticket to want to go watch them play. I could name WNBA players, and there's probably two or three players that you would say, oh, I want to go to the court because I want to see this person play. The fact that we think there's only two position players in all of baseball that would get Kansas City moved to go out there.
Two players, because pitchers ain't bringing anybody to the ballpark. No, it's only those two. Unless Shohei's that pitcher, Shohei and Judge are the only people that are bringing the casual sports fan to Kauffman Stadium on a Monday night or on a Tuesday night. The issue to me is a Major League Baseball issue where, and this is, you know, part of the charm back in the day, I would say, is this was my team. I know everything about my team. But no, I'm not necessarily familiar with the National League. And who cares about the National League? They don't come here. I need to focus on my team and my farm system. Well, in 2025, I would guess a majority of the people listening can name the starting quarterback of what, you know, 25 of the 32 teams. I can't imagine that the average listener right now could name more than seven or eight opening day starters of the 30 teams around Major League Baseball. It's just a very provincial sport. You watch your team and only your team. There isn't interest in really anything outside of your team. That's where baseball is. I don't see how it changes when you're playing 162. It's just so tough to keep up with every other team playing every single night for six straight months. It's understandable why it's a provincial sport, but if it's going to rise from the level of attention it receives today, I think you need to lop off like half the games.
The only other player I would add to this conversation would be Paul Skenes. I think if, like, let's say tonight that Skenes was pitching, I actually think you would see a noticeable He would be somebody that would get you to want to go out there to watch him. I know I would go out there today if he was pitching.
I don't know. I mean, if his, you know, I have a nephew. I know when Skenes pitched in Detroit, he went to the game just hoping to see Paul Skeens' girlfriend. So I guess he went for Paul Skeens, but I think it had more to do with whoever he's dating. I don't know if Paul Skeens would bring people to Kauffman Stadium. I don't think so. I mean, the Pirates stink. Yeah, he's impressive, but I mean, if Tarek Skubal was pitching here tonight, I don't think we see 20,000.
Right now,
Tarek Skubal's the best pitcher on the planet.
No, and that's you're right. Like Skeens, I think, has reached a different level of relevancy just because of
famous.
Pop culture. Yeah, no, for sure.
So people would talk about it on Twitter, but they wouldn't show up.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. All right, let me ask you a question about the Royals that's not about the Royals. I'm looking at Jack Caglione, and it's funny because this timeline to me just moves up every single time that we talk. But this weekend was just undeniable. You had 5 home runs in your first week in AAA, and then I look and I see that the Texas Rangers basically had a prospect just like Jack Caglione that they got called up, and they're 26th in offense and you're 27th in offense. It just feels like this thing is moving a lot faster than we had anticipated.
Yeah, and he's earned it, right? He's forcing the organization's hand. He's forcing everyone. He's forcing your hand to talk about him right at the start of your show. 5 home runs in a 6-game stretch is remarkable, regardless of where you're playing. Now you do need to take into account that on average, during those games in Salt Lake City, there was more than 15 runs scored every single night, so the ball was flying. Still, that doesn't explain 459-foot blasts or 9 base hits and 5 bombs in a 6-day stretch. No, the kid has prodigious power. He's playing in the corner outfields, both left and right. He's doing that more than he's playing first base. Yeah, he's forcing their hand. He's forcing that timeline to move up. Now, in the Omaha uniform tonight, as he'll make his home debut. But, you know, if he can do it again, he rattles off another 5 home run week, and you do it at a different ballpark, yeah, the conversation this time next week will be, where is he? You know, because right now it would seem, no, we can't get that far down the line. Again, a nice 1 week. Do it again, and then, like you're talking about, the conversation will once again completely change.
Right now, if I set the timeline at June 15th, is that too early to start having that conversation? Pre-All-Star break, is that too early to have the conversation? You and I both know how this works. If he has 2 or 3 more weeks like he just had in Omaha,
right.
They are not keeping him down there until mid-August.
But that's also just such a remarkable week in maybe the perfect setting. So, man, I hope he does it again because then, yes, it's undeniable that he should be up before the end of June. But he needs to do it again, right? Outstanding starts, a ball player that's never really faced failure as a professional. How's he going to handle that? I think he's going to handle it just fine. He seems to be a very mentally strong young man. And whenever he arrives, whether the offense is clicking or not, there's going to be an immense amount of attention and pressure on him because he has the full force of Major League Baseball behind him because not only that prodigious power, but he's also just a big, good-looking dude that is likely going to be, alongside Bobby Witt Jr., the face of this franchise for the next half decade. So when he makes his debut, sure, there's going to be attention in Kansas City, but the baseball world will be watching. So it's not one of those things anymore where you can kick the can down the road if the offensive production continues to demand your attention and demand a spot on the big league roster.
Vern, when you look at Michael Massey, I'm guessing how much time do you think he has here? How much more time do you think Michael Massey? Because I'm looking at the Royals, and they've been pretty aggressive. We were complaining about Hunter Renfro. They got him out of here. You were complaining about this player. They got him out of here. The next person to complain about is Michael Massey, and he has been as bad offensively as some of the other players that they have moved on from recently.
Yeah. Jonathan India back in the DH spot tonight, so he's still dealing with some things. You take a significant step backward defensively if and when Michael Massey leaves the big league club. If John Rave has a nice week and Massey continues not to hit, that could be the reasoning to send Massey down, and there also would need to be someone banging the door down. You know, Cam Devaney, of course, is the name that many people want to bring up, and there's just nothing you can say to defend the offensive output of Michael Massey. Do I believe that Cam Devaney has the upside of Massey? No, not at all. Do I think that Cam Devaney's the all-around player that Michael Massey is? No, but right now that Michael Massey is not performing offensively. So there are no bad ideas when you're historically the lowest scoring offense through 55 games in franchise history. There are no bad ideas outside of the caller yesterday that said Tyrone Blanco should hit third.
I got to hear the audio from that. I'm guessing you handled that with great measure. I'm guessing
we started off by talking about Memorial Day. So, yeah, I wasn't going to cut him off. I just let him go.
Oh, he used that to kind of get your guard down a little bit. I know.
What
I see.
Am I going to do?
I see what happened here.
He was a veteran too. Come on.
Someone on the text line wants to know why Garcia doesn't lead off for this team.
Again, there is no good reasoning, but the reasoning. Now, the team will tell you because we believe in Jonathan India. And listen, those top four hitters, Salvi, Vinny, Bobby and India, we knew the offense was going to center around those four. Those four need to be key if this offense is going to go anywhere. So they'll say they believe in Jonathan India, but you have to understand that you traded away Brady Singer for Jonathan India, talked all offseason about this is our leadoff hitter, this is our on-base guy, this is what the offense has needed, this is what was missing last year. We bring this guy in, and it'll take us to another level. 55 games in, I don't think that the organization just yet is ready to admit that India has fallen short of expectations. Well, maybe they would admit that, but I don't think they would send the type of wave, the ripple effect through the clubhouse and through the media by removing him from the leadoff spot. There's no arguing, though. Michael Garcia should be the leadoff hitter. Again, if this Michael Garcia existed last year, if this is the guy that showed up last year, Jonathan India is not in a Royals uniform. Now, you still trade Brady Singer, but you're likely getting someone else in return because you're not desperate for a leadoff hitter. You have one. He's 25, and he can do everything. But you did make that trade, and you need Jonathan India to work because he's not only here this year, he's here next year. In what role, we'll find out, but you know, as the calendar continues to go, just as it's undeniable when it comes to Jack Caglione, if he continues to put up numbers like this, you know, eventually we'll get to a place where if it is indeed costing this team games, you know, they're shooting themselves in the foot by burying Mike Hell in the five spot. But again, you know, it's not as simple as one switch of the lineup and this thing is fixed. It's, in my opinion, it's not. Now, it could help. No doubt it could help to have Mike Hell at the top. But I think this team is more than a Caglione away. They're I need good Salvi. I need Vinny to come through with runners in scoring position. I need Bobby to be even better. He's at an all-star level right now. We're expecting him to be more of an MVP. And outside of Michael and maybe Waters and Fermin, everyone is falling short of their expectations. Okay, Mark Canna. But again, everyone is falling short of expectations. It's not an easy fix, in my opinion. It's not one easy fix for this offense.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show. You can hear from him coming up in about 2 hours as he gets you ready for Royals and Reds coming up later today at Kauffman Stadium.